I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to The Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 530 are Chris Papcheck.
Hello, Diz Dads.
And David Platt.
Hello, everyone.
So about 3.5 years ago, David was sitting here with me, and we were wrapping up a show talking about Disneyland Good Neighbor Hotels, saying that there was a lot more to talk about, and we should pick this discussion up again. So here we are. Yeah. It just took us a little longer to get back here than we expected. And hey, if you can wait 3 years, you can wait a few more seconds while I thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. So, Chris, why don't you get us started here, and maybe explain to our Walt Disney World regulars why it's so much more of a big deal to be talking about Good Neighbor Hotels when we're talking about Disneyland. Because, I mean, we know that there are Good Neighbor Hotels on the East Coast as well. They just seem so rarely to be part of our conversation of a Walt Disney World vacation.
Well, obviously, the difference you're going to get with a Good Neighbor Hotel as opposed to one in Disney World is you have a lot more on-property options on the East Coast. With Disneyland, you have three. And in comparison, you don't even have any options for a value resort, within, on property, choices. You're pretty much looking at all deluxe, at least in the pricing, maybe not necessarily in, amenities, but you're definitely going to get, more options in price if you're going to go with a Good Neighbor Hotel in the surrounding area. And it expands within a couple of blocks right across the street or a few miles down the road.
Right. So the biggest issues here are numbers, right? I mean, you don't have the capacity of Disneyland on property hotels to accommodate everybody. Even if everybody wanted to stay on property, you couldn't do it. And then there's this whole issue of a much wider variety of experiences being available. And if you think about it, you know, we think nothing at Walt Disney World of staying at a resort that is a 20-minute drive to the parks. And I mean, David, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, at Disneyland, I mean, you've actually got to kind of work to get to a Good Neighbor Hotel that's 20 minutes away by car.
I don't know that there is one. I'm looking at a map right now, and I'd say, you know, if you hit traffic, sure, it could be 20 minutes. But without traffic, no, I'd say easily the furthest is 15 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, so,
you know. And I mean, that also brings another huge component of why Good Neighbors are such a big part of the mix at Disneyland is purely location. I mean, at Disney World, you hardly ever think about staying off property except in specific situations just because you want to be as close as you can to the parks. Whereas at Disneyland, some of the Good Neighbor hotels are actually closer than the on-property hotels, believe it or not.
Right, right. Yeah, and access too. I mean, you know, look, we have one hotel in all of Walt Disney World that's walkable to the Magic Kingdom. We have maybe three or four that are walkable to Epcot or Hollywood Studios. At Disneyland, you've got literally dozens that are walkable, and most of them are not Disney-owned hotels. So it really is a very different environment, and it does make a big difference. I mean, Chris, you were talking as we were getting ready for the show. How many Good Neighbor Hotels for Disneyland did you count?
Well, currently, and it's interesting because this number does change throughout the year. I've seen it change as I've checked all the time. Currently, the site lists 47 Good Neighbor Hotels. That just leaves you with so many options for what you want to do on your vacation. Fortunately, with those Good Neighbor Hotels, I think all but one of them, I would say, is in within walking distance to the park, with a reasonable distance, reasonable walking time.
Okay. Okay. And so, David, maybe you can talk a little bit more about, you know, what makes a hotel a good neighbor hotel, as opposed to just being a hotel in the Anaheim area. Because, I mean, even with what 47 hotels qualifying as good neighbor hotels, there are other hotels nearby that aren't good neighbors.
Sure. I mean, I think basically what it boils down to is the hotel has agreed to enter into some kind of business relationship with Disney for Disney to promote their property. You know, you can, with almost all of them, with just a couple of exceptions, you can book the Good Neighbor hotels directly through Disney's website. They will sell Disneyland park tickets in the lobby. That's one requirement. And I think there's one requirement I'm blanking on here, Aaron. Can you help me out?
There are a couple of different ones. The requirement that they sell tickets in the lobby and have a staffed ticket desk is a big one. And then there are some just sort of basic standards, and Disney doesn't really necessarily publish them for the public, but, you know, there are some standards in terms of business operations, and they'll come and do inspections, and there are cleanliness issues, and, you know, they've got to be in compliance with all their city inspection stuff. And if you fail a city inspection, you could lose your status. And so there are all those kinds of requirements as well. And then the other piece to this that I guess it's something I didn't really recognize until I was in a situation where I was dealing with it. And that is that, you know, because they're good neighbor hotels and because this is a contractual agreement basically with Disney, just because a hotel is a good neighbor hotel, that doesn't necessarily mean that every room in that hotel is always available to book through Disneyland.
Yeah, I've run into that exact same situation myself. If there's a specific hotel I wanted, I'll look, you know, to book it directly through Disneyland as a good neighbor hotel package. There's nothing available. But if I go, you know, straight to the hotel's website, there often is availability. So sometimes you have to make a choice there, whether you want the convenience of having it booked as an all-in-one package and get the extra little perks that come along with that, or, you know, book it a la carte, just room and tickets.
You can generally get a better rate too, possibly, you know, by booking on possibly a second party website. Definitely always check rates because they're always changing.
Yeah, it depends. You do have to be really careful about that, because one of the bonuses, and maybe this is the one that you were trying to think of, David, because Chris's comment just made me think of it. One of the things is that, if I'm remembering correctly, Disney does not allow hotels that are good neighbors to charge a resort fee. And
you know what? I've never heard that specifically, but I'd be hard pressed to think of one that does have a resort fee. So yeah, I think you're correct there.
Well, and the thing is that here's the deal. In a lot of these contexts, you get charged a resort fee if you book elsewhere. What they do basically is that the hotel's policy is to charge the resort fee, but they waive it if the booking came in through Disneyland.
There are also instances I know, a lot of good neighbor hotels do the same thing with parking fees. If you book through Disneyland, sometimes they'll waive the parking fee. That'll be a perk of the package. Whereas if you booked it, you know, directly through the hotel. Yeah, I've run into that
before. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've only run into it with a couple of hotels. I know I've run into it with the DoubleTree Suites. When I booked a package for myself, I got free parking. But if I would have booked it directly through them, would have been, you know, a $15 a day parking fee. So that can lead to some savings. But
yeah, so there are some little quirks to it here and there. And it does, I guess, it ultimately does make a difference. And you got to sometimes weigh it and see if it makes a big enough difference to you, to book it one way or the other. All right, well, so that's kind of the big picture. What I thought we'd maybe focus most of this show on is talking through what some of these options are, because for somebody who isn't as familiar with Disneyland and its surroundings, figuring out which of these good neighbor hotels are good choices, or even, you know, better choices in particular circumstances than others, can be really tricky. I mean, something as simple as, if I pull up that list of good neighbor hotels, how do I know which is the better choice, the Embassy Suites by Hilton Anaheim North, Embassy Suites by Hilton Anaheim South, Homewood Suites by Hilton Anaheim Main Gate. I mean, you know, these are all variations on a theme, but they're in different locations, and those locations can have a really big impact on the value of the hotel experience. So,
sure. And you can't even trust the locations to be that accurate, because a lot of them will say across the street from Disneyland, but that means across the street from the backside of Disneyland.
Right, across which street, really? A mile really?
And a half to the main gate.
Yeah. So that's exactly kind of what I was getting at. So I thought what I might try and do, because I'm by no means an expert on Good Neighbor hotels. Both of you have far greater experience with them than I do. So I thought I would sort of throw out a number of different scenarios and just kind of see what you would suggest to people in those scenarios. I thought I might start with one that's fairly common, and it can be a really frustrating one, and that is, what are a couple of suggestions you would make to somebody who has a large family? Let's say a family is six, right? And you know, they want to find a place where everybody can stay. They don't really like the two-room option if they can help it, because that puts one adult in each room, and it makes a lot of pressure on the adults and all that. So, do you have any thoughts, any suggestions for somebody who's traveling to Disneyland with a large family and wants a Good Neighbor hotel suggestion?
Sure, I've got one. I have a couple of friends who actually just stayed there a few weeks ago, and this is a Good Neighbor hotel. It seems to just be having a lot of buzz right now. A lot of people want to stay there. That's the Courtyard by Marriott Anaheim theme park entrance. It is, I'd say, probably about a 10-minute walk from the main gate. It's kind of right up there by the Howard Johnsons, for anybody that knows that area. And their standard rooms not only have two queens, but they also have a set of bunk beds tucked in the corner. Oh, so there are a lot of sleeping surfaces in that room.
Yeah.
You could each standard room easily sleep six. Yeah, it'd be a tight fit if you're there for more than a few days. Six people is a lot in a room. But for a large family that doesn't want to go the more expensive suite route, very attractive option. And it also has a fantastic water park for the kids. It has a great splash pad and water play area that probably rivals the Howard Johnsons, which, you know, a lot of people know is a pretty good one.
All right. Well, that's cool. See, now that's another question I'm going to come back to, because I think I've heard from people, right? They want a suggestion for a good neighbor with a great pool. And I want to make sure we address that, because that can be a little tricky sometimes. A lot of those good neighbor hotel pools are kind of, you know, cement holes in the ground.
Just in the middle of the parking lot.
Yeah. So we'll come back to that question, but the Courtyard is a good suggestion. And, you know, six with bunk beds, to me, that's so much better a solution for most situations than, you know, two queen beds and then a fold-out full-size bed, for example, or
bed. If two of your kids are older, they're not going to want to sleep next to each other. You know?
Exactly.
So bunk beds are perfect.
All right. Well, Chris, do you have any other thoughts on you know, good suggestions for that large family, somebody, you know, a family with five or six and trying to find a good neighbor that'll work in a single room?
As far as location is concerned, from my experience, anything that you would find on Harbor Boulevard, which is going to be your entrance into the where the buses go in, is probably going to be your best option as far as walking is concerned. And if you can find something close, a Suites Hotel is maybe the Desert Palms Hotel and Suites. It's right there just off of Harbor Boulevard, right at the corner.
Desert Palms has some great suite configurations for big families.
Well, so, see, there you go. There, you just stole my one good go-to suggestion there is Desert Palms.
The one you knew.
The one I go to. It's my go-to, right, when I get a large family. Because what I like about it is that they've got two or three different configurations. So, you know, for different sort of family types, each of them has something to say for it. And they've got some room types that are really kind of unique for the area. I mean, I know somebody who was just there in a two-bedroom suite with a kitchenette, which...
Yeah, it's one of the few with a full kitchen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it has a burner and microwave, everything.
Right.
And one thing... One nice thing about the Desert Palms too, which a lot of people don't think about, is you don't have to cross any major roads to get to Disneyland. You just have to cross that little entrance, I think, where the drive-through drop-off is, you know, where people just drive through to drop people off.
Oh, so it's just like a driveway, not an actual street.
You don't have to cross Gatella. You don't have to cross Harbor. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of families with small kids, that's attractive.
Yeah, and you're back, and you are backed up right up to the California Adventure. So, you know, if you can't, I don't know. They don't really have tall enough rooms there to see inside the park, do they? No.
No, it's only, I believe, 3 stories, maybe 4.
I mean, you can see Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
You can see the backside of Ornament Valley. That's about it.
There you go. I mean, it's not equivalent to backside of water, but...
yeah, but it's easier to see at night.
Yeah, it's probably still a pretty good view.
Oh, and also Desert Palms has one amenity that a lot of the Good Neighbor hotels seem to be doing away with lately, which is really attractive for large families, and that's free breakfast, free hot breakfast.
Right.
For a large family, that is a huge money saver.
That's usually one of our main drives of what hotel we're going to stay at if they have free breakfast, because that's just one meal we don't have to pay for in the park. And it can either be a grab and go and eat it on our way there, or get up early enough to actually sit down and have a meal. But that's definitely an important thing to consider when picking some of these hotels around in the area.
Now, it seems to me that it's still more common in the sort of suite category hotels to have that free breakfast available, but it seems to have evaporated from probably at least half of the, you know, kind of go-to moderate range Good Neighbor hotels.
Yeah, they just seem to be dropping off one by one.
All right, well, let's look at a little bit different scenario. We looked this time first at you know, what you might do for a large family. Let's look at maybe a different situation. Let's look at the opposite. Let's look at a couple's getaway trip, right? You're going to get away, you and your spouse, maybe just a long weekend. But you know, you maybe want a little bit different experience, and you don't want to spend, you know, $500 a night on the, you know, great room at the Grand Californian. But you also probably don't want to stay at the Super 8 when it's just you and your spouse. So, you know, what's your couple's getaway suggestion?
That's a tough one for me, because
usually your couple's getaway is with a 8-year-old.
Yeah. It's with my daughter. because of the Good Neighbor hotels, I mean, I think the nicer ones that, couples would be attracted to that are just nicer all around are the farther away hotels, you know, like the DoubleTree, a couple of the Marriott properties, things like that. And I can't in good conscience recommend a hotel that you have to use the ART Transit to get to the parks to, because I hate the ART Transit system so much. So I think of the close by ones, probably my choice would be the Fairfield Inn. It's still a Marriott property. I think the rooms are a little nicer than the other hotels there right across the street, and it's easily walkable.
Okay. Chris, David thought Fairfield would work well. Do you have a better option or a different option for a couple's getaway trip?
Well, one that my wife and I have considered to be almost a necessity on any trip that we should only consider is the Embassy Suites. And in Anaheim, you have 2 options. Like David said, a further option, you can get the Embassy Suites Anaheim North. That's going to be about 7 miles away. That is probably, I think, the farthest Good Neighbor hotel.
It is,
They do offer a hotel-operated shuttle, so you don't have to worry about taking the ART. And there also is the South version, and that is on Harbor Boulevard. And the great thing we love about Embassy Suites is not only do they have the available hot breakfast, they also offer the evening cocktail hour.
Oh, that's right. They do that manager's reception.
And for 2 hours, it's free drinks. And if it's just you and your spouse, it's definitely something to take advantage of. If you're on vacation and you don't have to worry about breaking the bank and having a good evening spending in the hotel. And generally, I would say an Embassy Suites is more catered to the business crowd. So maybe less children running around the hotel. Maybe a little quieter.
Yeah, probably true. I mean, and you've got, you know, Embassy Suites and DoubleTree are probably somewhat similar. DoubleTree does the kids eat free deal, so maybe they're trying a little harder to attract the kids. And, you know, Embassy Suites, on the other hand, is doing complimentary cocktails.
A thought just happened to pop in my head that I said I would have a really hard time, you know, recommending a place that you had to use art. I mean, the Embassy Suites, as you said, has its own shuttle, so that's an option. But a young couple, or any couple, would probably be a lot more comfortable doing something like Uber or Lyft. So a further away hotel might not be as big of an issue. You wouldn't have to wait on a bus. You know, you could just grab a Lyft.
Yeah, and Uber around that area, we found to be not very expensive at all.
I mean, they're not. You never have to wait on one.
No, they're always there, right there at that same entrance, right there at Harvard Boulevard. So we had to use it quite a bit on our last trip, and we found it to be quite convenient. So definitely an option if you choose for a further hotel and do not want to walk.
Yeah, it's a good point. Those are great options and important considerations that you don't necessarily think about. You know, I mean, we talk about transportation issues at Walt Disney World all the time, but at Disneyland, in some ways, the transportation question is almost a little bit more complex because you've got multiple different competing private options that offer different benefits and sometimes even different benefits depending on how far away you are. Right. I mean, using the shuttle from Candy Cane Inn that runs their own shuttle is probably less onerous than using the art from that whole strip of hotels that share it kind of, you know, farther down Harbor Boulevard.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That Candy Cane Inn shuttle is dependable.
All right. Well, so that's we've talked big family, we've talked small, you know, couples getaway. Let's look at a different scenario and talk about the family that really needs to go absolute bottom dollar, least expensive, without it being uncomfortable or inappropriate, right? you know, you're kind of, you know, family of four, right? 2.2 kids. you're ultimate average American family, but trying to do this on a budget. What do you suggest for a budget-friendly, family-friendly hotel?
Chris, why don't you take this one? I've chimed in first the last couple times.
I was just trying to rock through my list here and consider what is the economy of listed resorts, and they are few and far between. There are far more moderate level resorts in terms of, well, if we're comparing Walt Disney World as far as pricing.
And to be fair, the list of hotels on the, you know, I mean, Disney, you know, divides these lists up themselves, and they used to have, you know, three sort of roughly equal or four roughly equal size lists. I mean, the smallest list was the Superior list or the Suite list, and it's just not that way anymore. The value list has pretty much dwindled away. I mean, there I'm only seeing two hotels left on the Good Neighbor Value Hotels list. And then you're just kind of weighing the you know, kind of variety of options and various, you know, cost versus distance options in the moderate range.
Wow. I didn't realize there were only two left on there. That's
surprising. I'm looking at older lists and I, you know, at least they had four, but I think most of them are gone. it's quite surprising. You're not going to really find, you know, there used to be a Motel 6 on the list.
Well, now that one I'm still seeing. And so that may be a seasonal thing.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm seeing, Motel 6, Anaheim, Main Gate.
Main Gate.
And then Quality Inn and Suites, Anaheim Resort are the only two I'm seeing left. And I mean, we're not talking a lot of rooms here. Let's see, talking two, three. I mean, we're talking maybe 315 rooms total.
Yeah. And it says Main Gate, but yet it's still
pretty far away.
you're looking, it's down Disney Way, past the Anaheim Garden Walk.
You can see the main gate, but you might need binoculars.
Yeah. It's interesting is seeing it, like I've said, but at the start, you know, this list is constantly changing. They're adding and taking away hotels, and it's kind of hard to keep up with it. If you have a trip that you're planning 8-9 months out, that hotel may or may not be a good neighbor hotel by the time you book.
Yeah. So I've found over the past few months, this is just my intuition. I've never formally sat down and compared the numbers, but it seems like the bottom end hotels, the hotels that are consistently kind of at the lower end, they've all kind of equalized in price. There used to be a little variance, you know, in this kind of lower end, but they're all almost right at the same price point right now.
Interesting.
And I've found that I think a hotel I would recommend to a family like that would be the Tropicana right across the street. It's location-wise one of the best hotels you can get, surprisingly, for that price. It's always down there at one of on the more inexpensive range. It's a fine hotel. It's nothing fancy by any means, but it's, you know, well-kept, well-maintained, has, you know, the pool in the middle of the parking lot like we were talking about earlier. But it's literally a 5-minute walk from the main gate. I'd recommend that one, I think.
It's got the Cove Cafe too, so easy stocking up in the room for drinks and snacks, beer, wine, whatever you want to add for your trip.
Right. No, and I would agree. I mean, I've noticed that one popping up more and more often when I'm looking for an inexpensive option for people, because it also is the least expensive option, it seems, that offers a suite that's really a suite, right? I mean, there are a bunch of these that call themselves, you know, inns and suites or whatever, but it seems to me that the only suites that they ever have available are these studio suites, which means it's not a suite.
Right.
Kind of by definition.
Yeah, they're one of the few that has an actual door that closes in between the two rooms. Although I don't believe those are bookable through Disney, are they?
It depends.
Okay.
You kind of have to get lucky. I think that they release a certain amount of that inventory to Disney. And, you know, once the two or three that are allotted to Disney are gone, you've got to go to them direct.
Okay.
Now, Chris just mentioned in the chat something that I think it is worth at least mentioning. And that is that, you know, there are some special discount offers that are available often due to particular guest statuses. So, you know, I worked for the federal government for 14 years. And a lot of times when I was looking to travel, you know, we'd see what the federal government rates were, because those can be much better than what are generally available to the public. And we were always allowed to use those for leisure travel as well. It was acceptable to do that. You didn't have to be on official business. So there are some of those available, I think. And I think, Chris, you were saying that sometimes you find some good military rates available too.
Yeah, that's generally how we book our hotels. I get the advantage of being able to book with the government rate. So that's tends to draw us to certain hotels. So we tend to find the one that has the best amenities on what we're looking for our trip. And of course, how close it is to the park. We definitely don't want a long walk. We generally are rope droppers. That's how we do Disneyland, and that's the best way, I think. You get in there early and knock everything out and then relax in the evening. So anything within a 20-minute walk for us is generally what we're going to focus on. Specifically, I know that from experience, one of our favorite hotels is the Cortona Inn and Suites. And generally, we can get those rates pretty low. Now, the only thing that you have to add when you're booking those rates, you just have to pay the room tax every night. They add it on at the end of your stay. So it's the only thing that's usually not included when you book through a government rate.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. So they've got to charge you that before the discount.
Yep.
Huh. And there are occasionally other discounts that'll pop up. I know that I've occasionally been able to find somebody, a AAA rate. Those seem to be less common than they used to be, but there are still some out there. Occasionally you'll come across an AARP rate or another, big affinity group kind of thing deal. So, if you're really bargain hunting, sometimes it can be worth it to make a couple of phone calls because you won't always see those offers listed on websites.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
All right. Well, let's look at one or two other scenarios here. And the next one is one that I'm inspired to think about by, the trip report I did a while back with Corey Day. He was there in Southern California for something else that was going to require them to be there for a couple of weeks for a longer time. And they were kind of working in Disneyland sort of as a diversion while they were there, something to keep them occupied because they had to be there for another reason. So in a situation where you've got an extended stay and maybe not every day at Disneyland, is there a hotel that just seems to make sense to you for that situation? Probably a little more moderate on the price scale, but, has some of the kind of in-room amenities that would make it a little more comfortable stay over a two-week period than your usual sort of, relatively small, because that's one of the downsides, right, of most hotel rooms that are right close to Disneyland is they're fairly small rooms. Price, space is at a premium. So, maybe have a little bit more space, but still, at a little more reasonable price point, and maybe distance to Disneyland is less critical because you're not going to be in the parks every day, but you still want to be sort of, close by so that you can get to the parks when you want to.
From my experience, I haven't specifically stayed at the Anaheim version, but I have stayed at a Hyatt Place for 2 weeks. It's actually right next to the Cortona where we normally do stay. I really enjoy the Hyatt Place. You see them all over what they offer and the amenities. They have free parking, I know, at that location, which is important if you're staying for a long time. The rooms are beautiful. And the hotel itself, it's actually only a couple years old at this point. So it's in very good shape. And from experience at a Hyatt, I would choose there for a long-term stay.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a good point. That's a good way to weigh it too, right? I mean, you're not going to get a chance necessarily to vet every property, but there's when you're dealing with these major chains, they do make an effort to have some consistency in the sort of, amenities that they offer and the atmosphere that they create in hotels that they, market under a particular brand. And so you can work from your experience in similar properties, to be comfortable with what you're choosing in a good neighbor. How about you, David? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think, really going by exactly what you just said, I'm looking, I have the map here right in front of me, just kind of looking at what might work for a situation like that. And the Staybridge Suites keeps jumping out at me. For one, it's further away from Disneyland, but like you said, they're using it as a home base to go to a bunch of different places, so distance isn't critical. Staybridge Suites is consistently a pretty good property nationwide. And it also has the advantage of being right on the freeway, which, you know, has its drawback, sure, because it might be noisier. But if you're using it as a home base to go a lot of different places, that could be attractive.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And again, it's a, you know, working on your experience with the Staybridge properties, you know what to expect roughly from a Staybridge Suites, and for an extended stay, that probably is a good option. Frankly, one of the hotels that you mentioned, you know, initially is probably a good option in this category, the Courtyard, because those tend to have at least the kitchenette area where, you know, they've got a little bit more you can do, kind of very light, but light meal preparation, that kind of thing in room. So that can work. And Desert Inn and Suites, or Desert Palms, that we talked about, works too.
Yeah, that would be a good one. And the Courtyard would be a good one, particularly if you're there for a very long stay too, because you'd probably be having some pool days in there. So.
Right. Okay. So, well, there you go. That's you're going to lead us right into the next one. And so let's talk about options. If, let's say you're going to do the, you know, 5-night stay, but you're only going to do 3 days in the park. And what you know your kids are really looking forward to is getting the opportunity to, you know, enjoy some pool time, because it's going to be whatever. It's going to be summer and it's going to be hot. So what are some good neighbor hotels that, you know, get outside the mold a little bit, right? The stereotype is what we talked about, that, you know, the rectangular hole in the ground in the middle of the parking lot. So what are some hotels that offer a better option in terms of a pool, and maybe a pool with some amenities to it as well?
Well, I really wish we could go on property here, but since that's way off topic, I'll have to go with, you know, the one I just mentioned. Courtyard by Marriott has a really, really nice splash pad and kind of water park light, you know, area for the kids, way beyond just a standard pool. And then right next door is the Howard Johnson's, which is an old standby. It is it's getting a little dated, I think. I've had friends stay there recently. More than one group of people who have complained that the rooms are seeming a little rundown, but it does have a great water park area.
You took mine.
Oh, sorry about that, Chris.
Well,
there's only so many choices.
Yeah. You can see the pool and the little water park that they have from just driving around in the area. I think it's still all pirate themed, with a big pirate ship or something like that. So. Yeah. So, I mean, driving by, the kids definitely get excited seeing that. I'm like, yeah, we're not staying there. So.
But there are some other, you know, possibilities around that maybe, you know, don't quite count as good neighbors, but have really great water areas.
Yes. Something we've considered, actually, in a Disneyland stay, the Great Wolf Lodge. It actually opened up just last year. And I believe it's less than 2 miles from the entrance to Disneyland. I believe it's just off of Harbor Boulevard. And if you're familiar with the Great Wolf Lodge, they're all over the country, and I think even in Canada. They have an amazing indoor water park. And that's just one of the options that they have. But a great thing that the Anaheim location offers is you can book your stay with discounted Disneyland tickets. If that's your goal, is to have a Disneyland trip with a great hotel option. If you're going to have a lot of down days and you're spending a lot of time in the area, it would be a great location, because then you're surrounded by a few of the museums and things like that in the area, with Disneyland not too far down the road.
Yeah, I mean,
It is. I mean, it is on the pricey side. I mean, I'd say it's probably approaching the cost of the Paradise Pier. But then, like you said, they have these great deals going on right now. I haven't looked at it for a while, but I know last time I looked at it, you basically got a free park hopper for the length of your stay. So if you were staying four nights, you got a three night park hopper with that. That's a pretty amazing deal.
I'm sure there's somewhere in the cost that it's included, but I mean, even still, if that is what you're going for, if you know you're going to be doing Disneyland, I mean, heck, if I'm only 2 miles from Disneyland, you know I'm going to be going. It's a great option if you want to accomplish more than just the park in your stay, and you want to be able to have, if you don't think you're going to be spending the entire time in the park, because generally we do 4 days Anaheim, maybe five, and at least three of those days are full park days. So if you have a lot of down days, then I would believe the Great Wolf Lodge is a good option. And especially if you want to explore the surrounding area.
Right. I mean, there's the tricky thing about Great Wolf, because, I mean, we've got a Great Wolf Lodge here in the Kansas City area. And you know, we've done kind of the long weekend thing there with the kids. I mean, they love it. They have a lot of fun. The water park area is great. Some of the other entertainment they do for kids is actually pretty good. I mean, it's not Disney quality, but it's pretty good. And, you know, the deals that they are running out there now, because they are new to the market, are really aggressive. And frankly, I think that's probably a big part of the reason why they're not good neighbor hotels, just because they're not playing by Disney's rules when it comes to, you know, doing a regular Disney ticket desk and that kind of thing. Instead, they want to do their own thing and offer their deal. But I don't know. I mean, I almost think that the hardest part is that once you're there, especially with maybe younger kids or kids who you know, haven't yet experienced the parks, to stay at some place like Great Wolf, you got to sometimes pull them out of the hotel to run to, you know, to go to the parks, because the water slide is right there. Why should they walk, or why should they get in the car again?
Yeah. Too many options for sure.
Right. Right.
It would definitely be for the more experienced Disneyland visitor.
Right,
someone who's spent a lot of time in the park, knows it well, and realizes that they haven't really explored outside of that area, that bubble.
Right. Now, I would say that they do have some interesting room configurations, some interesting like suite options and things that just aren't available at other places. So in those situations where, and there are some interesting suite possibilities at some of these other good neighbors, but again, in each case, there are only so many rooms in those configurations. And so there's often availability issues. And when that happens, you know, Great Wolf Lodge becomes a more attractive option because they've got rooms that accommodate 7 and 8 people that, you know, there are very few of those available. The inventory of those available in the area is just fairly limited. So they're not cheap. You know, you're going to start getting, as David was saying, closer price-wise to maybe considering staying on property. But again, you can accommodate 8 in one room or, you know, 5 in one room at Paradise Pier. It doesn't help you if it prices the same and you've got 3 more people you need to get in the room.
One thing I'm actually unclear on Great Wolf. Does anybody know, do they use ART or do they have their own shuttle? Because they are pretty far away.
They are far. And that may be another piece of why they're not good neighbors, because I don't know that they like participate the way that they would be required to in order to be a good neighbor when it came to that kind of thing. I'm kind of peeking around now trying to see if I can see what they do in terms of a shuttle, because I'm not sure that they offer anything. At least partially because they do offer a bunch of other entertainment. And the one thing that did bug me about Great Wolf here is that a lot of the additional entertainment that's available is extra cost.
Yes.
Not all of it. Some of it is included, but the stuff that the kids really wanted to do cost extra.
Just a little bit more. It's right. Just an add-on. No big deal.
Yeah. $10 here and $10 there.
I just found on their website, they do have their own shuttle.
Okay.
Says offers a complimentary shuttle. Reservations are required, and there are a limited number of runs per day. Okay. So take that for what it is.
Right. And I'm going to guess that Disneyland, as part of their good neighbor requirements, you know, probably draws some sort of distance circles and says, okay, if you're within this range, you know, you need to provide shuttle service that's at least this frequent, and then kind of goes, you know, from there. Because yeah, I got to guess that they've got some requirements if you get farther away in terms of providing guests with transportation, if you're going to be a good neighbor.
Yeah, that seems to make sense.
And because remember, it's Disney who is deciding whether you count as their good neighbor.
So yeah, the question is
whether you deliver guests to them.
There's no real written out of what qualifies a good neighbor. Obviously, I'm sure it's some deal that we don't see, but there is some qualifications that seem to be common across the board with
exactly
all of the offered hotels.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a contract out there, and they're just, you know, I'm sure it's not publicly made available, but in any case, that is an interesting option. Great Wolf Lodge is not a good neighbor hotel, but you know, it's kind of in the range. They do offer a shuttle, maybe not as frequent, but might be a good option if you're looking to do a vacation that's, as I think Chris was saying, you know, Disneyland was a piece of it, but you were looking to do more of other things as well that are maybe.
Yeah. Oh yes. And of course, like you said, it can accommodate, for one room up to 8. So those larger parties looking for, an option, fairly close, then that is also a possibility.
All right. Well, you know, I think we've covered a good range of different kinds of things. I guess what I would kind of bring this back around to is to ask either of you, you know, and I know this is one of those things, it's almost like asking people where their favorite, you know, off the beaten path place in the Magic Kingdom is. And everybody says, but if I tell you, it won't be off the beaten path much longer. So I'm going to ask anyway. I'm going to ask anyway. So what are some of your favorite sort of hidden gem options among the good neighbor hotels, if we haven't talked about them yet?
Well, I'm going to mention one that I'm surprised has not come up as any choice for anything tonight, because in my opinion, it fits almost everybody's needs and is one of the best values of all the good neighbors. Is, we've mentioned it in passing, but that's the Candy Cane Inn. It has, well, when you take all the amenities into consideration, you know, it's not the cheapest of the good neighbors, but when you take everything else into consideration, it really has a lot of value. It has a very good free breakfast. It has free parking. So if you have a rental car, if you're driving, there's no, you know, additional $15 or $20 a night parking cost, no resort fee, like we said, but none of the good neighbors have that. And it's super close. It's about a 10-minute walk to the main gate. But if for some reason you don't feel like walking, it has a very dependable shuttle that runs every 30 minutes all day long as the park is open. It's, you know, in my opinion, it's the good neighbor hotel. I stay there as much as I can. And I probably just took your answer, Chris. I'm sorry.
You know, as you said that, I was mouthing. I was like, he's going to say Candy Cane Inn, because that's generally one of the most popular, I believe. One of the most probably well-known. Just, I mean, the name alone is, it sticks out. It's not a Best Western, which there are 5 options for Best Western hotels. Don't get them mixed up, because they all have their own separate name.
Well, and you know, that's the killer for me on those Best Westerns, because my problem is I have a horrible time keeping track of which one is which, because they're not all clustered in one area. They're scattered all around, and it makes a big difference.
It does. Yeah. Two of them are fairly far away.
And two of them are right next to each other. So yeah. it can be confusing, and you definitely want to double check when booking to make sure it is the one you believe it to be, because you may book it, get to that one, and oops, that's not the one.
Sorry, we don't have a reservation for you here.
So definitely that can be confusing. So Candy Cane, there's only one, and it has its own shuttle. And like you said, I didn't know it had a free breakfast. And like I said before, that is one of our options, one of our main drives is which hotel we're going to pick for a free breakfast. I mean, with those littles and trying to get them up early and getting to the park at rope drop, being able to go grab a breakfast, even if it's just some fruit and pastries, and being able to just get to the park early is a big help. But if you can get a hot breakfast, I mean, that's
now, that's I will say that our experience was that the breakfast at Candy Cane was good, but that room where they serve it is really not big enough for the number of rooms.
It's really small. Yeah.
No.
And it gets and very crowded.
And that's what I was going to say. My option and our what we've stayed at multiple times, and I've actually said it earlier, is the Cortona Inn. It offers free breakfast. It does have the art out front if you want to pay, but it is only a 20-minute walk to get to the front entrance. All the rooms have microwaves and refrigerators for use. It does have a pool, and it's generally smaller, and it's free parking. That's another big thing, too.
Yeah, and it's also not a very far walk over there to the Toy Story parking lot, so you could use those shuttles if you
want to. Yes, you just took it right out of That is one of the options we have done, being able to walk over to that main parking lot. Now, it's a bit of a weird walk because it's intended for you to actually park there, but you can get into that parking lot and ride those Toy Story buses over. If you have little ones who do not feel like walking, that 20-minute walk can seem like an hour to them. So that is also another option because that is literally right across the street. I mean, you do just have to cross you have to cross Harbor plus Convention Way or walk right in to get to that parking lot. But that's probably the biggest parking lot, with the exception of the parking garage with the Disneyland park. So that's also a good option. The buses, generally, you don't have to wait too long for those either if you're going to utilize it on the way back as well.
Yeah, those Toy Story buses run extremely frequently. I mean, even if you're leaving the park right after, you know, fireworks or the parade ended, you know, you'll probably be on a bus within 10 or 15 minutes because they stack them up, you know?
Yeah, there's multiples. You know, you've got probably, what, 3, 4, 5 different parking lots with each their own different bus. So they're constantly rotating around.
Well, you know, we've been talking about a whole lot of different Good Neighbor hotels in the Disneyland area. Lots of great suggestions from both Chris and David. You've heard their suggestions. We'd love to hear your suggestions. I'm sure there are some that, you know, we didn't think of or happened to gloss over. I mean, as Chris said, there are 46 of them. It's really easy to forget one. So is there a favorite that you have that we didn't talk about? Let us know. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at Dizdads Podcast on Twitter, or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. And, you know, if you've got an extra minute, we'd really appreciate it if you'd take a second and review us on whichever service you're using to listen to the show, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, whatever it is. Those reviews make it easier for other people to find the show and helps kind of spread the DizDads message, whatever that might be. So until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Chris Papcheck.
Thanks for having me.
And David Platt.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And as always, our outro music is brought to you by Kevin MacLeod. Whiskey on the Mississippi by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. It's licensed under Creative Commons by attribution.
So many.
I forgot to trash the Menage. Oh, that's, you never got to the ones that we were.
Oh.